Today on Real Life Radio.
The church that you go to is a church that you are to grow in, you are to develop in. Why? Because the gift or gifts of the Spirit of God are to come up and out of your life. And if you've been in a church and that's not happening, then you've been some dead skin in that church.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
There are a lot of voices out there shouting this and that, spreading lies, personal agendas, and deceitful half-truths. But when we fill our minds and hearts with the Word of God and have a quiet time with the Lord, those voices are silenced. You see, the Lord speaks with a still, small voice, but His words are powerful and true. So if you haven't started a devotional time or just need some direction, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has weekly devotions on his website that includes a Bible verse and a conversation with him that relates to that verse. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on the Devotions tab. There are also previous devotions that you can enjoy every day of the week. You can even email us if you've been blessed and want to share your experience. Again, it's on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and Paul shares with us how God builds His church. You see, historically, the church has been the greatest power on the face of the earth, but there is a great temptation these days to just do church without real influence from God. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that strife and quarreling within the church really does disrupt spiritual maturity and growth. When there's division, many will then lose sight of their spiritual gifts and grow weary in their work for the Lord. Now, with his message called What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As you find a church that ministers to you so that you can minister to the body of believers, hang on with all might. Get involved in that church. Why? Because the Bible tells us here in verse 4 regarding our unity. It says, look, that there are diversities. The word diversities mean, mark it down, write it down. It's a great word. Diversities of gifts. The word means a unified distinction. An assembled variety. Isn't that beautiful? A difference of diversities. But we're unified as believers. There is this amazing unified distinction. And if you think about anything that works in this world, you came here in a car today or something with four wheels. You say, no, I didn't. I rode my bike, rode my motorcycle. Doesn't matter. It had multiple parts, did it not? Those parts served one purpose, and that was to propel you along to your destination, right? When you got in your car, you had all of these working parts. All of them different, but unified by their assembled distinction to bring about a cause, to bring about a purpose, to bring about a function. As a church, we are to be that type of body of believers, and that will come by understanding what gift of the Holy Spirit you have in the church and how it's to be exercised. And we're going to go through all of them someday before the Lord comes back, I trust. You need to know. This word also circlet the word gifts right here. There are diversities of gifts. This word means an endowment by God, an appointment of qualifications. By the way, it demands that it's by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives each of us in this church different gifts for the common movement of this church. So watch now. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if it applies to you. Are you, and keep them up, by the way, are you a Christian? And you know it, clap your hands. No, I'm kidding. If you're a Christian, and you know, that's from camp. Anyway, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Raise your hand, keep it up, okay? Oh my God, okay, keep your hand up. Will you people look around? Just look around, look to the left, look to the right. Look at the hands that are up. Put them down. Why am I a little frustrated over this? Because listen, if every one of us who raised our hands could say today, I know what my spiritual gift is. This church, this service, this church, First Service Church, would blow the doors off this world. You say, oh, come on, man. I mean, it's just for service. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers when they're unified, setting sail for the same cause. Oh my goodness. There's nothing that cannot be done for the glory of God. The moment we go, I don't think so. Well, whatever. But listen, if you don't know what your gift is, that's what these studies are for. We're going to be finding out. And if you are visiting, then do stick around for 4 weeks and find out what's going on with your life. What is it that God has saved you for in this world? Yes. Well, to go to heaven. That's later, man. That's your retirement. What is it now? It's exciting. It's an amazing thing to realize. The Bible tells us, mark it down if you would. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That's Paul quoting Psalm 68:18. Ephesians 4:12 tells us that these are the reasons why the gifts are to be operating. For the equipping of the saints, that's us, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh my goodness, that verse is pregnant with truth. Look at that thing. As a believer, wow, I need to find out what God wants me to do. I need to find out what burden he's put in my heart to fulfill for the body of Christ. And so I'm here in this church. Lord, what is it that you're speaking to me? What gift have you given me? Why? Because it's to edify. The equipping of the saints will be a ministry which results in edifying the body of Christ. Does that excite? I hope that excites you, man. I hope that pumps you up. Say, man, you know, I don't know. Let me tell you, one taste of being used by God. Oh, I don't want this to sound wrong. And don't do what I'm about to say. This is a sarcasm, okay? I'm being sarcastic right now. If you don't think that verse is true, then go do all the drugs you can do. Go run around the planet, try everything you can. Sign up for whatever you think you need to sign up for. And when you have destroyed your life and have run yourself empty, then come right on back and find out that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life and says, hey, Bob, this is the gift I've given you. Use it. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. You can try the junk of the world and you'll be destroyed. When God uses you, listen, I can tell you, when God uses you, you might be exhausted, but it's a good exhaustion. It's like, yeah, and there's nothing like it. And I want you to know that. If you don't know that, I'm so excited for you. I really am. It's life-changing. Verse 4 also teaches us this, that where God is at work, there'll be unity around the truth. I want you guys to write this down because it's so important. Today in Christendom, we've got this big push. Listen carefully. We have this big push in Christendom today in what is called Christianity to be unified. We need to be united. We need to be united. And it's unite, unite, unite for the, unite. No. What? Listen, it is a very wrong thing to unite outside of the truth. When people today, this is a big deal. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, then you're at peace. But if you do know what I'm talking about, you see the false doctrine floating around Christianity today, coming out of pulpits, that we just need to unite. Let's unite. Let's lay down our differences. Doesn't that sound sweet? Hey, look, that sounds fantastic if you're at war with some country. But you never put truth on the altar and sacrifice it for unity. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. Isn't unity all important? No. Are you kidding me? Do you know what unites us as true believers? The truth. I got a nasty letter from somebody last week. Actually, I get nasty letters from people every week. And by the way, if you're writing down now a nasty letter right now to send me, I have to let you guys know something. I need to remind you. the mail I get, if it's not signed with an ability for me to return your comment, either by phone or by address, if you don't sign it with your name, I don't read it. As soon as I get it, I look to the back and I see if it's signed and I can reply to whatever's about to be said. If it's not signed, if there's no way for me to dialogue with you, I ball it up and throw it away. You say, doggone it, I wrote you a nasty letter a couple weeks ago and that means you didn't read it. That's right. I haven't read a nasty letter in 20 years. If it's not signed, look, if it's signed, if it's nasty and it's signed, I'll read it. I can see some people go, make a note of that, honey. I got to write that note over again. I forgot why I even brought that up, though. It was very important. I was going somewhere with it, and it was, in fact, it was going to make the entire message. It really was. No. Anyway. Oh, unity. Of course. When we sacrifice God's truth, God's doctrine, God's revealed word so that we can have a kumbaya moment and say that we're okay with God, we're false. The truth unites us. And when the truth goes out, that's what now I remember what I was talking about. When the truth goes out into this congregation and somebody is diametrically opposed to the truth, and then scolds me because I'm not promoting a spirit of unity, what I was really being invited to was, that Bible of yours is 2,000 years old. Don't you know that our modern age has arrived? And you just need to promote unity. Take the Bible and flush parts of it down the toilet. Let's just hug one another. I'll hug anyone who's at the truth, right? And what is the criteria for the truth? The Word of God. When we operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, I have the gift of running around barking like a crazy dog, going crazy. Oh, no. No, you don't. And the truth is going to come get you and say, sit down, calm down, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But listen, I want to say this. I do believe in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as described in the Bible. We say, well, how come we don't see all of them working? That's not God's fault. That's our fault. Well, I saw some lady, she was doing this thing and I won't believe in that gift anymore. Oh, listen. I lament over the abuses of the gifts too. That doesn't make them not true. It means that they've been abused. All of the gifts of God given to the body of Christ are for the edification of the body of the believers, the church. And just because some denomination or some group of people ruins the practice of those gifts doesn't make them not true. It means that we need to stick to the Bible and stick to the truth. But there's the unifying work of the Holy Spirit around the truth. And the proper use of the gifts will strengthen the body of believers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word or communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That means to make sad. The Holy Spirit can be saddened, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's an awesome verse. The Holy Spirit is the manager of the church. Do you know that? And he's looking for devoted, single-hearted Christians, loyal, faithful, true lovers of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is looking for you. And if these things are not in your heart, then why would God give you a gift or an empowerment of the Holy Spirit if you are not concerned about exalting Jesus, but you want to exalt yourself? You don't love the brothers and sisters. You have these selfish motives or ambition, and you say, God, give me these powers. I think the church today suffers from a powerless witness because, as James warns us, we often pray and seek things to try to gain them for our own use or for our own attention. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I read a great illustration. It's a World War II illustration. Comes out of the World War II era in the 40s. A young man and young woman were engaged to be married. War breaks out, and he's called away to war. He writes her letters. Listen, he writes her letters, and he's faithful to send her gifts. She begins to get a little sloppy in her devotions to him. She begins to hang out with old friends. That story went on to say that she began to allow herself to be going on friendly dates with other guys. And a neighbor wrote her fiance. And that neighbor said, "Your fiance may not be as faithful as she once was." And it affected the man's heart. And he wrote her a letter. And he said, "I can't bear to keep this secret any longer. Is it true that you're carousing and you're going out and you're seeing other guys?" And she said something like, "What do you expect me to do? You've been gone for 2 years." His letters became infrequent. The gifts began to cease until he came back. And at that, the story ended. About killed me. I wanted to know more. What happened? And you think about the church. Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go. I'm going to ascend and I'm going to call the Holy Spirit. He'll come on the day of Pentecost. He will come to you and he will give you gifts and you will have power. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, there is absolutely no lack of resources from the day of Pentecost to this second. Amen. God is not some sort of a goofball, take it back giver. What he gave 2,000 years ago is available to us now. And if we're running in the deficit, if your personal Christianity or mine is weak, it's not him. We have somehow allowed other things. We've been courted, dated. We've been flirted. We've allowed ourselves to be flirted with other things of this world. And the letters come less frequent. And the gifts are not being given or being sent out to us. Because why? Because you know what? We've got other affections. And my heart's desire is that this church be so radically sold out for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, look around at the news. I don't know, but we may not have much time left. You say, What do you mean? I don't know what I mean. The world's a mess. There's trouble in the Middle East. Economies are failing. It's a perfect time for the false Messiah to arrive. Think about it. How close are we? I don't know. I think we're close. What do I do? Go sit on top of the roof and wait for Jesus to come back. No. You get busy about your Father's business. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and his power. And you find out what your role is in the body of Christ. And you get engaged in the body of Christ. No more spectators. It's not acceptable. Verse 5 says this, "In this also, we know that there's a new direction in this, in the direction of function." Verse 5 says there are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries. The word ministries here means tending, caring, loving, servicing the church. There are different caring, tending, loving, servicing the church ministries, but notice it's the same Lord. This unification of direction also breeds function. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 4, "But as we have many members in one body, but all members not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing." Isn't that cool? Having gifts differing. We all don't have the same gift. "According to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy," that means proclaiming the word of God. That doesn't mean telling your future. If somebody grabs your hand and says, "Hey, let me prophesy your future," run. In fact, tell me, point out the person. I need to know who that is. That's not what the verse means. The word means to proclaim the word of God, to prophesy. It doesn't mean to tell the future. It means to put forth the word of God. "Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Verse 7, "Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation." Romans 12:8 says, "He who gives with liberty, He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What a great thing that is. Okay, church, we're almost done. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, I love this, for we are his workmanship. Those of you who raised your hands a moment ago, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means out of your life, Christian, will flow good works, which God prepared beforehand that we, or you, us together, should walk in them. Amen. Let me break this down. Watch this. I hope this pumps you up. I couldn't wait to get to this verse. The word workmanship is where we get the English word poem. We are his poem, his creation. The word is production, creation, invention. So read it. Look at that verse. For we are his invention, poem, creation, created for good works. The word means good labors, good toil. It means to be a good project, to be a good effort. God says this. Prepared beforehand, this gets me more excited than anything. The word means that God, for every Christian, has tailor-made you for a certain thing to do. And that thing that God has, listen, put in your life to do, you will love it. You say, Pastor, are you serious? Wait a minute. I was totally resistant to this message until you just said that. It's amazing. You say, well, okay, I'm open to what God wants to do, but as long as I'm not an evangelist, I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. And guess what? The moment you say, Lord, I'm now open to what you want to do in my life, guess what happens? It's supernatural. You will begin to really care about the lost and you're going to want to reach them. You might say, well, Pastor, I just have a keen hunger to study the Bible. Really? Dive in. Read the Bible, study the Bible, find out what the words mean. Why? It may very well be that God is calling you to be a teacher or to be a pastor teacher. You might say today, Pastor Jack, I'm gifted at business. I have a business or I have businesses and I have income. I've got money and I don't love it. I want to use it for the glory of God. God has given you the gift of giving. I just read it in Romans 12 a moment ago. And that person, the gift of giving, it's freaky weird because they see a need, they pray about it and they meet that need. They write a check. They drop cash to that need. And you say, well, wow, that's amazing. God uses them. Everything they touch turns to money. And they turn it around and they build the kingdom of God. And you say, really? Can I have that gift? That's not your gift if that's your attitude. They have the ability to build the body of Christ that way. Maybe for you it's administration. That's a real gift of the Holy Spirit. To be an administrator in the body of Christ, to strengthen the church. The Bible says in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's what Paul said. Did you hear that? Look, I can tell you this. That verse right there, that verse, look at that verse right there. For me personally, I would say about 22 years ago, 23 years ago, God gave me that verse in a time of fasting and prayer. I was asking God, Lord, speak to me about what gift you have for my life. That verse, God gave me that verse. And let me tell you, it made no sense to me. When I read it, I said, that's for somebody else. I'm not joking with you guys right now. You can ask Lisa. I read that and I said, there's no way. I can't imagine being a proclaimer of God's word. There's just no way. But what came back to haunt me over and over again was, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, that got my attention because I'm the survivor of a failed abortion. So that caught my attention. Wow, could God have been in this? And I stuttered really bad and God healed me of my stuttering. Things began to come together to the point in my life where woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel began to cook in my heart. He will change your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 2. We're glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Did you know that Christian battles are sometimes lost simply because we fail to get involved? It's why our current featured resource can have such a powerful impact. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct, written by award-winning author Frank Turek. Dr. Frank tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism. Correct, Not Politically Correct is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. You'll find that at jackhibbs.com. jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.